It is good to be with you today. When I was asked to be here for these 3 months, October, November, December, for the fourth Sunday, I said, well, sure, I'll be happy to do that. My history with Stony Island and a desire to again be in fellowship with you, it was just a wonderful opportunity. And I can do that now since I'm not preaching full-time at South Holland anymore. However, you all locked me in for the Thanksgiving weekend and now for the Christmas weekend. And I thought, now that's kind of sneaky, but that's all right. I've got all my family with me today and my one son who's from out of town and his daughter. And so there'll be 25 of us at my house this afternoon. All opening presents, one at a time. And we'll play a game, and that'll determine who opens the first one and the second one. And they hate it, but it's my house, so I get to do stuff like that. And they don't get to open it unless they play the game, too. So we've done a lot of crazy things in the past, so I look forward to that. But I'm glad to be with you today. Happy to be in fellowship with you. And I tell you what, I can point to the Stony Island congregation. I can't point to a lot of congregations in the Chicagoland area. And to say, you know what, if you want to worship and you're not at South Holland, why don't you worship here? All right? Unfortunately, there are not a lot I can say that about. But I'm grateful for your consistency and your dedication. And I know that just like every congregation, just like at South Holland, we have, as a family, we have our squabbles and fusses and such. But, you know, we get over it because we love each other. And if that isn't the bottom line, then I hope you have a wonderful life here because it ain't going to get better after you die. if you're not rooted and grounded in love for one another and love for the Father and those things of heaven, I pray that you are and that you do. I want to share with you a lesson this morning. This is a great weekend. It's a family weekend, is it not? And it's a time to reaffirm to people, you know what? I love you. I think about you. And I know I had to go to the shopping center, and I hate doing that, to get things, so I want you to understand that my trip and back from the shopping center is part of this gift to you, you know, besides what you opened. Just the fact that I went ought to be gift enough. But anyway, good to be with you. Good to be with you. Let's pray together. Father, you have given to us a life that is abundant. You have surrounded us with family, with friends. You have adopted us into your own family. You love us. You forgive us. You accept us. And without a doubt, that is the very best news, because all of that was done through the gift of your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for my family here at this congregation. Help us to be joined in spirit always. Help us to hear of each other as we pass and as we talk to those who know us in common, that we are holding to the faith and walking in the steps of Jesus, that we are guided by love and patience and forgiveness and genuine concern for each other. Father, thank you now for this time that we have to share together. We pray through Christ. Amen. You might know, if you were here a couple of months ago when I shared with you, that I teach math and reading and advanced reading at the Sylvan Learning Center and enjoy that immeasurably. But before that, I was in a classroom of fifth graders. Fifth graders are wonderful, wonderful age. The hormones have not kicked in, and so they're just good kids in a lot of ways. Don't give me high school, please. But fifth graders are wonderful. Well, it came to that time of the class when we were going to study science. And so I asked the young people, I said, now, on the count of three, and I don't want you all doing this, okay? On the count of three, I want everyone to point north. And so I said, one, two, three, and they all pointed to what they thought was north. They covered, there had been 360 kids, it had been 360 degrees, they were pointing, except for one kid, he was pointing straight up, as north. And I said, today we are going to find out what direction is north. So I had the kids get out a ruler, and I gave them, if I can get it here, yeah. I gave them about 18 inches of string. I said, tie this right in the middle of the ruler. And then I gave them each a bar magnet. And I put them in pairs. So I tied the string around the middle of the bar magnet. And then the other string to the ruler. And then we suspended the ruler between the chairs, the backs of two chairs. And just let it dangle there. And I said, now this bar magnet has a north seeking pole and a south seeking pole. We usually sometimes call it the north pole and the south pole, but in reality, it's not the north pole, because you remember that it's opposites that attract. So in reality, when it says north, it means south, because it's attracted to the north. But that's beside the point. That's another lesson if you're in my science class. But this is a north seeking pole and a south seeking pole. So this one seeks north. And so I talked about magnetism and the lines of magnetism and magnetic field that the Earth has about it, and that this magnet is going to line up and point directly to the North Pole. So when I finished talking about magnetism and such, I said, now look at your magnets. Now, at the count of three, I want everyone to point north. One, two, and they all pointed north. And I said, that's good. That's good. Now, I couldn't go much further into some things I'm going to share with you about my compass and my faith, and I brought one with me. This is a compass. It cost $1.19. You know, but you know what? It works as well as one that I have at home that cost many dollars. Because I can put it on a level place, and as I look at it, yep, it's pointing north. And that's what it does. And that's all that it does. But it does it well. It does it well. So whether this compass costs $1.19 or $1,190, doesn't make any difference. It just does its job. And so I thought, you know, there's some lessons that we can learn from my bar magnet and my compass and tie those into my faith. And let me share with you what I learned from my compass as it parallels my faith. On a compass that is not affected by anything iron, and it's only iron that affects the compass, a magnet is only attracted to iron. It's not attracted to other things. In the science book that I gave the kids, it had a magnet, and then it had all kinds of coins stuck to it. And I said, now, kids, this is something you need to learn. Just because someone says something doesn't make it true, and just because they have a picture of it doesn't make it true, you got to check it yourself. And I hope they apply that to some of the more important issues of life. But it had a penny stuck to the magnet. I said, pennies don't stick to magnets. They're copper, they're nickel. They don't have any iron in them, and they will not be. My wife said, now, honey, are you sure about that? And I said, okay, Bonnie. So I got a penny and a big, powerful magnet, and, of course, it does nothing because it doesn't have any iron in it. And so if this compass is not affected by the magnet, which it was, but now it's not, if it's not affected, it points but one way. Only one way. And that parallels my faith. It parallels my faith. This points one way. There's only one way to heaven, isn't there? You know that. And I know that. And we must not ever be ashamed of it or in any way be misrepresenting who Jesus is. In John chapter 14, verse 6, you remember Jesus says, when he says that I go to prepare a place for you, John chapter 14, wonderful chapter, in my Father's house are many mansions, and I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there you may be also. And a wonderful picture of a groom who's coming back to get his bride when the house is ready. And that's what they did then. That's what they did. That's why the parable of the 10 wise and 10 foolish virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish in Matthew chapter 25. They didn't know when he was coming. And what's the lesson? You be ready. You be ready. Next week's going to be January 1st, 2012. Some people are saying that's the last year we're going to be around. Doesn't make any difference. Just be ready. Just be ready. Well, anyway, he was asked, how can we know? How can we know the way? I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Preacher out of Texas, Joel Osteen. Does everybody know Joel Osteen? What a coward. What a coward. He was on the Larry King live show. Larry King. Larry King asked him, is Jesus the only way to heaven? Can anyone be saved who doesn't believe in Jesus? He said, well, God will let us know that when we get there. What a coward. What a coward. Yes, he is the only way. A compass points but one way. There is but one way to heaven. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, you remember Jesus says that in this great Sermon on the Mount, there are two ways. There's a broad way, which is an easy way, and it leads to destruction. There's a narrow way that leads to life eternal. And he says that way is hard, but it is the way that leads to life eternal. There is but one way. As Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, he said there is one God, one man in between God and man, one mediator, and that mediator is Jesus Christ himself. One Lord, one faith, one baptism we read of in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5. There is but one way that my compass points, and there is but one way to heaven. Let me tell you something else. There are things that I cannot see, but which are absolutely true. You know that. There are things you cannot see, but they're absolutely true. One of the kids in the class said, well, how do we know there's something is there if we can't see it? Now, I don't know if he had a spiritual background to that question or not, but, I almost said, I've never seen your brain, but I'm going to assume you have one. But I didn't say that. I didn't say that. But I said there are many things we cannot see, and one of these is the magnet. And of the lines of magnetism. Let's have my keys here. That'll work. That'll work. Is there anything in here that is... I don't know if there's anything in here. These all made out of aluminum? I guess so. There you go. This. This holds, for a second, not a very powerful magnet. This has a magnetic field around it. You can take the most powerful electronic microscope there is, but you cannot see lines of magnetism. But I can pick up a nail. I can pick up anything that is made out of iron with this. I take this and I put it under a piece of paper and put some heavy paper over it. And then I have some iron filings that I sprinkle over it. And the iron filings just go right where the lines of magnetism are. They start from the center here and they go around. They come out here. Out here and they come down to here. You can't see them. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean that it's not there. Just because you can't see it. You can never see under any conditions these lines of magnetism. And as long as we are in the flesh, we cannot see the realities of the spirit world. You cannot see the reality of the spirit world. Now, if God wants to appear in fleshly, physical form, then you can see that. But God is spirit. Remember what Jesus says to the woman at the well? God is spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we cannot see spirits. We cannot. But they are there. They are there. And that's where faith comes in. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. The religious world says, let's try to walk by faith. So let's get some icons together and let's get some things we can touch and feel and see and smell and tie our faith to those things. Catholic Church closed over in the Dyer, Indiana area. They tore it down because they built a large one. Before they tore it down in the altar, they had to take out the icon. Because in every altar, and that's what they're bowing to when they come in, they're not bowing to the priest, they're bowing to the icon. Because the icon in the altar is a piece of bone, supposedly of a saint, or a piece of the cross, or a piece of cloth, or a drop of blood. They came around our area with a vial of blood from Mother Teresa. Can you imagine that? They took a vial of blood for her from her, and then that's an object of veneration. A veneration. We walk by faith, not by sight. I wonder what they think when they get to that. There are things I cannot see but are absolutely true. Third. You know, as long as I've been playing with magnets, I've been playing with them since I was a little kid in the boys club, in the Boy Scouts. I've been playing with magnets. I'm fascinated by things like that. And you know what? Since I was a little kid, and that was a long time ago, north hadn't changed. Hadn't changed a bit. My compass still points the same direction. Still points the same direction. And you know what? Jesus Christ is spoken of by the writer of Hebrews in chapter 13, verse 8. He is the same yesterday and today and tomorrow. He is not going to change. He is not going to change. Isn't it wonderful? He's not going to change His mind when I get before Him. When I stand before the judgment, He's not going to say, oh, by the way, I've changed this. I think some people are hoping that He's going to say that. But He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Forever. Things have not changed. You know, here's the fourth thing. In a circle, and I work with math with my kids and Sylvan. In a circle there, of course, as you know, 360 degrees. You knew that, right? 360 degrees in a circle. And so I can go north, northeast, east, southwest, south, southeast, south, southwest, west, northwest, north. 360 degrees in a circle. If with my compass I start out from the equator and I'm heading to the North Pole and I am off by 1 degree, just 1 degree, I missed the North Pole by 66 miles. I'm just off by 1 degree. If I start in the Chicago area, where I am right now, and head to the North Pole, and I'm off just 1 degree, I'm going to miss it by 33 miles. By 33 miles. I will not make it. I will not make it. What if I'm just a little off in doctrine? What if there's just a little bit that I'm off on? Remember in Mark chapter 12, verse 34, when someone came to Jesus and when Jesus talked about the greatest commandment and the second greatest, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. And He said, you are right. You have hit the nail on the head. Master, teacher, rabbi, you are exactly right. Because everything is encompassed in my relationship with God and in my relationship with my fellow man. Jesus said to him, something I hope He never says to me. You are not far from the kingdom of God. You know, I don't care how close I am. I want to be in the kingdom. I don't want to be close to the kingdom. It's like There's a 10-foot chasm, and I have to jump it. And you jump 4 feet, and I jump 9.5 feet, and someone says, "You almost made it." I'm still at the bottom of that chasm, dead, aren't I? I don't want to be almost there. I want to be there. I want to be there. I don't want to be off. I don't want to be off. You know, if the North Pole is salvation, and I'm just a little off, I missed it. If the North Pole is heaven, and I'm just a little off, I missed it. You know, in the Bible, there's some things that obviously we have to mature on, don't we? And we mature in those things, just like a little baby has to mature. And we have to grow in love and grow in affection, grow in understanding, grow in forgiveness, grow in patience, grow in controlling our tempers, grow in understanding what's important about life. But there's some things that we've got to hit dead on. Jesus talks about those things by introducing them with the word verily. Verily, verily, I say unto you. This is what in English we call categorical imperatives. You can't miss these. Except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. That's an absolute imperative. That is a truth that cannot be gotten around. Except you repent, you will all likewise perish. And these are the things that he begins. In the King James, it says, verily, verily. Other translations that might say, except. Unless you confess me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. He says, except a man be born. In John chapter 3 with Nicodemus, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. You see, you absolutely can't make it unless you're born of the water and of the Spirit. These things are categorical imperatives. You can't be off at all on these things. And fifth, my compass has one function. It points north. It points north. I have one purpose in life. Now, the scripture that was read earlier from Philippians, the 3rd chapter, speaks of heaven's imprint upon the heart of Paul when he said, not that I have already obtained or am already mature or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brethren, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do. Not 100 things that I attempt, not 1,000 things that I dabble at. One thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I have one function, to get to heaven. In my classes, both advanced reading and in math, we school the children in following directions. And we have various lessons that we give them to impress upon them the importance of following directions. For example, we say, here is a word, here are 5 words. Find the synonym. Here's a word, here are many words. Find the antonym. I know on one of them it says, now I'm going to give you some directions and I want you to follow them. You draw a box. You put a circle inside that box. You draw a triangle above the box. And we just teach them, follow directions. Because kids don't want to do that. You give them a test, they want to start filling it out right away, don't they? Follow the directions. Read the directions first. And I'm teaching some 7th and 8th graders at a school out in Country Club Hills. And in every lesson we get to, read the directions first. And that's what we have to do. That's what we have to do. We have to follow the directions to salvation, to heaven. And just as in my textbook, where all the directions are not in one sentence, it could be 5 or 6 things they have to follow. All of the requirements for salvation are not found in one verse. You know that. The Bible was not written in verses. It's written for all of us to look at all of it. And so as David says, the sum of thy word is truth. Look at it all. Now the Jews had to draw from Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy to arrive at their laws. You know how many laws there were in the law of Moses? 613. That's what Jewish scholars come up with. 613 laws in the law of Moses. And they had to look at Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And with that, they came up with the 613 laws. So our new covenant is not contained in one verse. I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I have to conclude that Jesus is the Christ. That's what John says, isn't it? In chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, many things Jesus said and did are not recorded in this book. But these are recorded that you might believe, and that in believing you might have life in His name. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John lead me to the conclusion that I cannot miss, that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ. I read all of the book of Acts, and I see conversion after conversion. I see conversion. Chapter 2, 8, 9, 10, 11, 13, 14, 16, 18, 19, 22, 26. All of those contain conversion accounts. Just in the book of Acts, believe. Acts chapter 8, verse 37. If you believe in your heart, Philip says to the Ethiopian. Repent. Paul says on Mars Hill, God commands all men everywhere to repent. Confess, as the Ethiopian did, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be baptized. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. And the rest of the New Testament talks about the Christian life in the church and in the world. It talks about Christ coming and heaven to come. And so I beg of you, follow the directions. Be found in Christ, ultimately in heaven. That is your purpose. I had a great, great friend from Africa. His son was my roommate in college, Dow Merritt, Brother Merritt. Told of the story of an old leper who became a Christian. He was shunned by the rest of the village because he had leprosy. And a preacher by the name of Bicycle, they called him Bicycle because he rode his bicycle everywhere. Bicycle went and preached to him. And he became a Christian. Now the village really hated him because he was the only Christian. Pray that I would die soon, he asked Bicycle. Pray that I would die. But the Bicycle didn't know what to do. And so he prayed, you know, if it's God's will. The old man died. And Brother Bicycle, with some other brethren, took him out into the forest and buried him. Now the tribe, the village, would have come and dug him up, and because of their disdain for him, it scattered his body so the wild animals would eat it. When they buried him, though, they put a large slab of concrete. They poured it, mixed it, put it together over his grave so they couldn't dig his grave up. And just before it set really hard, Bicycle wrote in the concrete, "He died in Christ. He died in Christ." If that's all that's on your tombstone, what a wonderful memorial to your life. Die in Christ. Follow the directions. Follow the directions. We're going to sing the invitation song. If you need to respond, to become a child of God, to be born again of the water and of the Spirit, if there's a need that you have as a child of God that we can help you with, to pray for you, to pray with you, you know, just let us know. And so the Scripture said, pray for one another. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. We're just so happy to do that. You are a family here. You're among a family. And they genuinely love you. Sometimes they might not act like it, but they really do. They really do. And we all want to go to heaven together. We all want to go. If there's a way that we can help you, would you let us know as we stand and as we sing?
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.